boss.
Sounds about right. I think the nearest I can tell you is that Trader resembles a grizzled old wolf, leader of the pack. Not a breath of doubt about that. Could be entering his last season before someone younger, stronger, and faster comes along. But that someone hasn't come along yet.
When I ask John about him, he gets a real funny look in his eyes, like he's remembering a tough but fair father. Know what I mean?
Of course I know. Ryan's the same. A father he never really had. And I think that Trader sees the two of them as the sons that he never had.
Mildred looked out of the window at the endless desert.
And they're out there, someplace.
They'll come back. Maybe not today or tomorrow. Could be weeks, I guess. But I know in my heart that they'll return safely to us.
Mildred shook her head.
Sounds like our beloved and worthy time travelers returned here from the land of Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
Heavy on the nod, isn't he?
Evidently, the old man was struggling to pull on his boots.
Oh, bam!
Now he'll spit.
Now he'll come in, and he'll feel he has to offer some excuse for crashing out like that.
The door opened, and a shaft of sunlight darted across the room. Tiny motes of dust floating in its heart.
By the three Kennedys, the best of times to all in this house.
Been sleeping, Doc?
No. I was lying out there with my mind seeking the memory of the solution to the feigned theorem of the great Pythagoras. My eyes were probably closed for a few moments with the effort of my concentration.
The one about the squaw on the hippopotamus being equal to the sons of the squaws on the other two hides? That the one, Doc?
There is nothing like a good joke, madam, and that was nothing like a good joke.
I'm a bit puzzled. I did a little math, but I don't know that one.
Doc bowed, his disheveled hair tumbling over his shoulders.
Pythagoras deduced that a square constructed on the longest side of a triangle would be equal in area to the two squares constructed on the two shorter sides.
I see. Does that work for all the triangles, then?
Yeah. For once, Doc's been really exercising what passes for a brain.
Doc shrugged and turned away.
Devilish warm out there. I wonder what sort of climatic conditions our dear absent friends are experiencing.
Probably colder and wetter. Seattle's not the sun capital of the land.
Doc wandered into the doorway of the kitchen.
What are we having to eat?
What would you fancy, Doc? Anything, anytime.
My own dear wife's lamb chops, with her special wow-wow sauce. Capers and fresh cauliflower. Baked potatoes with a honey glaze. Positively lashings of her thick, rich gravy. Ah, I can almost taste it now. Perchance, followed up with a steamed treacle pudding and cream. A decent medoc with the main course, and then a marsala for the dessert. An 82 port properly decanted to go with the coffee and cigars.
I'll join you in that, Doc.
I fear that you and all the other chattering Amazons would have retired at a decent point before the port and cigars to gossip about babies and other women's talk.
Oh, screw you two, Doc Tanner. Maybe all things have changed, but some of them sure have changed for the better.
And what delicious repast would you have selected for yourself?
None of that fancy-dancy stuff for me. I was in New York for a while, staying at the good old Chelsea Hotel on West 23rd. I used to eat at a diner a few blocks away called the Galaxy, just away south on 8th.
A fast-food greasy spoon. About the level of cuisine I would have expected from you, Dr. Wyeth. Definitely low cuisine.
No, not at all. The Galaxy had wonderful food, and it was a real good deal, too. Their eggs, bacon, and home fries set you up for the whole day. And Greek omelets with feta cheese blintzes with sour cream, chicken cutlet parmigiana. Ooh. They did a Galaxy platter with steak and sole and a whole mass of other goodies. Oh, I had it a couple of times, and I can still taste that great feeling of being so full with good food that you can hardly move.
Doc held up a hand.
All right, but forgive me if I stick with Emily's home cooking.
Have to agree to differ, Doc. Nothing unusual about that. We seem to spend most of our time together disagreeing about something or other.
Doc smiled, displaying his full set of oddly perfect teeth.
Into every life a little rain must fall, my dear lady. Our occasional spats are one of the things that make this lonely life bearable for me.
Mildred turned, startled. She took a quick step to him and kissed him on the cheek.
Mwah! Wouldn't be without you, Doc. Now I've made you blush.
Doc turned away, standing and staring blankly for several seconds at the wall of the room. When he swung back, both of the women were surprised to see the brightness of unshed tears in his pale blue eyes. He tugged out his swallow's eye kerchief.
By the... I feared that I was likely to have one of my notorious bleeding noses, but I see I am not.
You all right, Doc?
Affection has always unmanned me, my dear. I confess that your kindness, Dr. Wyeth, sent my thoughts racing back to my beloved lost wife.
Later that afternoon, when Christy was strolling out in the yard, Doc came quietly up to her.
I've been thinking...
Yes?
When I was with you and Dr. Wyeth...
When Mildred kissed you and you gave your famed impersonation of a ripe tomato?
Indeed. While Ryan and John Barrymore are away from us for a while, and as there appears to be no grave threat to our safety, I wondered whether I might venture on a small adventure of my own. I say, venture on an adventure. Rather good, that, wouldn't you say, Christy?
You mean go off on your own?
For a while.
A while, Doc?
2 or 3 days. No more than a week. I doubt my survivalist qualities for any longer.
You'd need to speak to Jack about that.
Of course, I would.
He might not think it was a good idea. A lot of things could go wrong, especially if you're on your own.
But that is the very nub, the kernel of my feelings. I know that I am all too often the lame duck on the good ship Enterprise. I know that.
That's double crap, Doc. Gaia, I've lost count of the number of times you've saved our lives. You chilled 3 of those crazy flaggies on your own. Think if you'd failed us then.
I had thought to increase my chances of survival by taking Judas along with me.
That old mule? If he doesn't chill you first, Doc.
Christy took his arm, and the two friends walked together toward the house. When Jack and Dean returned, Doc asked the albino teenager for his opinion of his plan. The dawn sky squatted brooding on the snowy tops of the mountains around them. The temperature had dropped further, leaving a sheen of gray ice on the water bucket within 5 minutes of Ryan drawing it up from the rattling depths of the well. The fire had come close to dying until JB went to bring in some fresh kindling and hewn logs from one of the outbuildings. Trader awakened slowly and grudgingly.
Fuck me. Damn back and damn knees and damn shoulders and damn fingers. I say fuck them all.
Trader saw that the other three were looking at him.
Best you can hope for is to die before you get old.
I heard that already.
Well, now you fucking heard it again.
Flurries of snow were carried in the teeth of the Blue Norther that came rampaging down through the Cascades, having started its life somewhere in the glittering white wilderness of the Arctic.
Son of a bitch. Oh, motherfucker.
Ryan and Abe got breakfast crackling and spitting in the skillet, while JB went out to check on the animals available for them. Trader sat in the deep armchair, massaging his knees. It struck Ryan yet again how much his old leader had aged during the time that they'd been parted. But Ryan still sensed the mix of steel and whipcord, like before. And when the firefight had begun, Trader had effortlessly delivered the ace on the line, just like he always had.
You thought more about paying a visit to the Outers of Seattle, Ryan?
Yeah, I thought about it. Although I'd rather get started on the road home to New Mexico, Trader. But I'll come along for a day or so.
Not far, if the horses are... Ow! Sod buggery!
Some hot fat spat from the pan onto Abe's wrist. He splashed cold water on the burn.
Horses. One thing you gotta watch out for when you're in them mean old streets is... that a horse isn't just a way of moving there. It's food for a tribe of 30 muties for a whole day.
They heard JB stamping snow off his boots on the back porch. He rubbed a crust of ice from his